Welcome to Q&A with T&K. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Oh, hello, everybody, and welcome to Q&A with T&K. I'm Kristen.
I'm Tiffany.
So we decided that I'm gonna ask the question today, read the question that has been submitted to us, and I didn't know that I had to start off the introduction either. Plus, Tiffany's video, we're Skyping, and so she's, a little bit delayed, so I can't see her facial expressions and her movements until, after she's already done them. So sorry for the weird delay there.
And now I can see the delay and I can't stop wiggling and having it not move until later. It's highly entertaining.
It is.
Skype okay, Live. So hey, listeners, do you know that Kristen and I don't live in the same place?
Yeah.
We live in different places.
We live way different places. Mm-hmm. I live in Minnesota.
And I live in Portland, Oregon, soon to be Carson, Washington.
Yeah, she's moving soon. Mm-hmm.
You know what else we're doing soon?
What?
We're going to have a baby soon.
Woohoo! Oh my gosh, I love it.
Well, soon is a relative term, but in the near future.
It'll be her baby number one.
Uh-huh.
I can't wait to snuggle it. I hope I get to see it when it's a little. Mm-hmm. Little babies are my favorite.
And they're so cute and tiny. Cute little. Oh.
I know.
I can already tell just from the ultrasounds that the baby's going to have my husband's grumpy face when it's grumpy.
Ooh.
And I can't wait. It's you can't be mad at this grumpy face because it's so ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Grumpy.
I know you're upset, baby, but look at that cute grumpy face.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ooh. Okay, so I get to be the one to ask the question then today.
Uh-huh.
This question is from Alicia S. Am I supposed to say who it's from before or after?
It doesn't matter.
From Alicia S. in Minnesota. The question is, what do you do when you don't feel like you're being understood and or respected in your profession? That's the question. Do you ever feel that way?
Constantly.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you ever feel that way?
No.
Oh.
Not right now. No. I don't. And maybe once I hear your answer, then I'll say, I feel the same way. But in how I'm deciphering the question and just my automatic first answer is,
yeah,
that I feel like people do respect me. And maybe that's because of the position that I'm in, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm always fighting to not be the lowest on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, just in the pecking order that is public school,
yeah,
or K-12 school. And so there's this weird it's preschool. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody feels that way now, because I'm a little bit vocal and kind of a turd about it. But
right.
In the beginning, it was definitely fighting an uphill battle, rolling the boulder up the hill to have it roll down on you every day.
Right.
That feeling of just you would be surprised at how still, after being there for 5 years. And I feel in the field of early childhood education is a different story than respected at work for me.
Right. So I think it's all about in what
context.
Circle you're, yeah, what context.
Yeah.
Because in the world of early childhood education, I mean, do you feel that way in the early childhood education world?
Yeah. I do.
You feel
and not like, oh, people respect what I have to say, but in the field of early childhood education, when you have a question or you have an idea, it's a very nurturing community, I found. At least the people that I know and spend my time with and ask the hard questions to.
Right.
And it's one of the few places that I feel like you can disagree about a thing and still be friends.
Right.
And not agree to disagree. Because that's also like, there's that level of like, well, we'll agree to disagree. It's like, no, you can fundamentally disagree about different topics, but still have a healthy conversation about it and still learn something from the other person. And I don't know if that's true of many other fields that I've encountered.
But definitely.
How many other fields have I been in? Is the other question. Well, compared to the marketing and advertising field, like, no, I don't know.
So I'm okay. I'm trying to think about in my world, in my, do I feel respected and like my opinion matters? I definitely do. And like I said, I think it's because of the context. It's because of the title that I hold within. Mm-hmm. So I'm the founder, director, creator of the program that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of support as far as like board members and community support. And I feel like right now I'm kind of looked at in a light like of almost an expert, like on what I know in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know everything. I don't. In
Nor
our field.
Yeah, nor should anyone. When you're at a point where you know everything, then like, uh-oh. What does that say about you?
Right. Because people can always learn. And anyway, I don't feel that. However, I can see, like, say you were, so if you're like the founder of a preschool where it's like, I think it's also like the name of the program that you're in. So follow me here. So if like you are a family child care provider, and then there's also preschool in the community that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Who are parents going to look to as like somebody that they respect or respect their opinions of? Do you follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying. There's that stigma that because you're a family child care, or is this where you're going with this?
Yes.
That like, oh, you're a preschool, must teach that like, yeah, I'm going to pull my child from this amazing play-based program where the teachers are really passionate and motivated, put them in this preschool. Because they need preschool before kindergarten.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally follow what you're saying.
So how
I don't agree with it for the like.
I don't know. But how do we move away from that? How, because there are amazing family child care providers out there, how do we change the general public or the community's perspective on, oh, they're just babysitting my children,
mm-hmm,
versus not actually teaching them? I don't know. I feel like I don't exactly know how to articulate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think you're, from here, it sounds like the root of the issue isn't whether you deserve respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you change people's perception so that they understand and therefore respect what you do.
Exactly. So how do we do that?
That's hard.
I mean, is it through education?
Yeah.
Through knowledge, like teaching people about letting the world know what you know. I mean, but then it almost feels like you have to prove yourself.
Yeah. And I think that that's a part of this question that I really want to talk about, is that you shouldn't have to prove yourself.
Right.
Proving yourself continues the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I see it as more of a time issue.
Okay.
if you are working in a program and the kids are happy and they're learning a lot and it's an amazing developmentally appropriate environment with passionate adults and all the things we talk about from our Best of Moments episode,
mm-hmm.
the freedom and the supportive space and the supportive adults, that over time, parents, they're like, it will build on itself. Those children mm-hmm. become third graders who still their favorite teacher was their preschool teacher.
Right.
Those children become third graders who can problem solve better than anyone else in their class.
Right.
Those parents send their next kids and those kids, you know, like it's a whole journey of like this cycle of change that the right. more you put out into your community in that way,
mm-hmm.
the happier the kids are when they leave.
Right.
The more happiness you'll get back from it.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my experience, that's the secret. And now we're in a position now, I'm on year 5,
mm-hmm.
where we just had parent-teacher conferences. And maybe the number one topic from parent-teacher conferences was, I'm so glad my child can be my child here. At the last program, they wouldn't let them do X, Y, Z.
Right.
And it made our lives miserable.
Right.
Just like, what?
I know.
I want to be that program where people send their kids and like, oh my goodness, you love my kid because you love my kid. Not just because you love all children. Like, you love my kid for the specific reasons that I also love my kid.
Exactly.
Rant over. And what do you think? I want to hear your thoughts about changing the community's perspective, because I feel like you have some interesting perceptions about your program, or at least you did when we first started talking about, like, you're the hippie school.
Yeah.
And all that. Which, for frame of reference, your school is, like, totally, I don't want to say the average Portland school, but, like, that's what preschool is to Portland. So when you told me that you were the, like, crazy hippie dippy school, I was like, what? Like, what is that? What?
Isn't it funny? I know. I don't know. I guess revelation, the way that things have, is that the word I'm trying to say here?
Mm-hmm.
The way that things have evolved, the mm-hmm. evolution is what mm-hmm. I was trying to say. The evolution of our program and then kind of, so we're in our third year and all the other programs in our town, preschool, are very traditional. You know, lots of teacher-directed activities. Just your, like, a very traditional what parents think preschool should be environments. And we are different in that we actually are child-led and we actually are a true playful learning environment where children are given lots of time to explore and discover and make their own decisions. It's been a journey as far as now I feel like I'm kind of finally after this 3 years getting to the point where people are starting to understand it and are starting to seek out what they know to be good for their kids. It's hard to put into words. I don't even know, was it a year and a half ago? I found out that around the community we're known as the hippie school. Because we do things a little bit differently than traditional preschool education. I don't even know where I'm trying to go with this.
Do you feel like you had to combat that? Was that a point of disrespect? Or is that like embracing that idea and being like, well, yes and?
Yes and. I think, yeah, that was exactly it. It was a yes and. At first, it was like a dig. Like, I felt like, oh, like, I don't want to be different than everybody else. That was my first instinct. But then I was like, yes, I do want to be different than everybody else, because what is different than everybody else is what's good. And that's what kids need. And so at first it's kind of like, I felt like, ugh, like I was being called out mm-hmm. for not being normal. Our program for not being normal, but yeah, it was a, yeah, but yeah. And this is why we do what we do. And I do find that I still have to do a lot of community education. We've been doing lots of different programs, that have just tried to bring awareness to the community about play and about nature. Mm-hmm. And, with that, we do some like local newspaper articles and things like that. We invite the reporters out and they, you know, ask questions and dig a little bit. And so we've been able to do some education through the newspaper, and, I have a lot of followers on our Facebook page. And so I, you know, try to create little things here and there as far as why we're doing what we're doing and why that's developmentally appropriate and good for children. But yeah, I still do feel like there's a need to educate. I don't necessarily know if prove is the word. That's the word that I want to use, but I feel like I'm educating. Yeah. I'm not proving. I'm educating the public and the community on what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing and why it's good.
Yeah.
So I feel like education is a huge part of it. Not using the word prove.
Yeah.
That's a word that it feels like I should be using, but if we want to make it positive, we're educating. Yeah.
And educating means that people come to that information of their own free will. Proving it feels much more confrontational.
Defensive.
Like, here's why. You have to listen and here's why. Whereas educating is like, yeah, but like when you're ready to hear about this, here's where you can access it.
Right. So in knowing, you know, I know the gal who asked the question, I kind of know her situation. And so I almost like I'm trying to figure out how to answer this question in a way that is helpful to her. And I think that maybe is it. It's not proving what you know. Uh-huh. It's finding a way to educate others on what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah. It's like making your own teaching visible.
Exactly. And what that looks like is probably different for everybody. It could be mm-hmm. blogging, or it could be vlogging, or it could be just little bits of information here or there posted up on a wall somewhere. Yeah. Or
sharing that article with your parents. Or
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
I think that there's always with something that's different and not the norm, there's going to have to be some level of education that goes with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's just more work, and there always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if who knows when it'll get to the point where we live in a community where playful learning and child-led learning is the norm.
Yeah.
So until that time, we have to educate.
Yeah. I was thinking more, so there's that whole play-based, child-led constant battle of how do you, I can't tell you how many times that conversation of, you know, we lost this awesome family whose kid was really happy and doing really well to go to a quote-unquote real pre-K.
Yeah.
Like, when will that perspective shift? Because they're both real pre-K. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Your kid's probably going to learn more in this environment that they're happy in with trusted, supportive adults than this one where they're, like, sitting and doing worksheets for 3 hours.
Right. I know.
So that, to me, is part of this question. The other part is, because I also know Alicia. Hey, girl. how do you tackle the, oh, you're just a preschool teacher?
Right. Or, you're just a daycare provider.
Yeah.
Or you're just, you just watch my kids all day.
Yeah.
How do you tackle that? I don't know. I feel it's the same type of thing. It's like education. It's like, putting on display, like, what you know through what the children are doing. So basically, like, The Language of the Wolves, Lisa Murphy's Language of the Wolves article. It's great. You can find out uigui.com, uigui lady.com. Uigui? You want to Google that?
I better Google that.
All right, Lisa. I should know this. But it's the Language of the Wolves article.
Uigui.com.
I don't know. I feel like even as a family child care provider, if you want to be seen in the same arena as a teacher, then you have to, like, point out the learning that's happening, like teachers do.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. Do you get what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. It's like you have to translate. It's like speaking two different languages. You have to translate what you do into teacher speak.
Exactly.
I hate doing, but I understand.
I know. But, like, as a preschool teacher, that's what we do. We point out learning that's happening. We document it. We show parents. We are able to speak to that. And so as a family child care provider, if you don't want to be just seen as a family child care provider, you want to be seen as an educator, then I think that you should be doing the same thing if you're not. But if you are doing the same thing and people are still looking at you only as, I guess I don't know.
I think another level of this is that idea that just like how kids don't listen necessarily to one person, like mom tells you every day to do this thing, and you're like, yeah, whatever, mom. And then when your teacher tells you, you're like, it's not just mom. I think that's a part of this equation too, that like as an early childhood educator, you know, you have to maybe translate into teacher speak, which I don't know if I agree with that. I think sounding like a teacher is something that I try to avoid when I can.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that I can't sound like an educated, knowledgeable individual.
Exactly.
And not to give teachers a bad name, but let that, like, we're going to meet our early learning standards. Like, no, that's vocabulary we're trying to get rid of.
Right.
But I think that there is a level of this that you can't be an island, which is maybe kind of what your program ran into in the beginning. You are an island. And so you need a broader communication base to reinforce that message. It doesn't matter how many times I tell my boss that we need to change our Letterland curriculum. When she hears it from somebody else is when she's like, now your opinion has been confirmed by someone else.
Right.
I did the same thing to my husband yesterday when he was like, have you read Name of the Wind yet? And I was like, no, but Sarah at work told me I needed to read it. And he was like, how come my opinion wasn't valid?
Right.
No, you need, like, there's that level of someone that you know and trust, who probably is the child care provider in this situation, tells you, parent, boss, whoever in this scope of community, something important. And until you hear it from somebody else that can confirm that belief, it's just like not there.
I get it.
Just like the double teacher in the room. Hey, it's time to put on your rain boots because we're going to go jump in puddles. And then it only happens when the other teacher also says, hey, it's time to go put on your rain boots.
Yes.
And it's nothing personal against you.
Right.
That, I think, is another thing I want to reiterate in this. It's not personal against you when somebody doesn't believe you or doesn't listen to you right away.
Right.
It's human nature.
Human nature. Yeah. I'm just going to say that. That's so really what we've kind of come to the conclusion is that it's just human nature. I mean, it's not something that we're going to be able to change. So you're not going to be able to change that person who maybe isn't viewing you as a professional unless they hear the same thing from somebody else.
Yeah. So how do you encourage other people? So then it's like,
yeah,
send out all these articles to your friends and your, you know, like send them to the parents. So then one parent reads it and agrees with it and then tells another parent, hey, did you read that article? It was really good. And like trying to triangulate mm-hmm. your education in that way, I think exactly. is really helpful.
So it's probably really good to have allies in, you know, whatever field you're in. So say you're trying to get rid of your Letterland curriculum. You need to have an ally. Like, yeah. So maybe there's a sneaky way that you can go about facilitating this so that, you know, she gets mm-hmm. a phone call from Jeff Johnson or Lisa Murphy saying, get rid of the Letterland curriculum and here's why. And then she'll get rid of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would take, it takes a village.
It does.
It takes a village.
So maybe as early childhood educators, we need to like be a village for each other and figure out how we can support each other and be that second opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, so big.
This is so big. You got deep with this one, Kristen.
Oh my God. Did you hear my brain? Did you hear my brain?
Yeah.
I couldn't process.
I could see like lighting up in different areas everywhere.
I hate doing that. Like I'm different than a lot of people where I don't know. It's really hard for me to think that deep. Oh,
it's like draining.
I think maybe it's just that I can think that deeply, but it's very hard for me to articulate what to get those words out of my body in a nice fashion.
Well, you nailed it.
Well, I kind of stuttered through it a little bit, but I did okay.
That's what visible learning looks like, Kristen.
I love it.
For me, it's usually like, yep. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, remember that thing that we were talking about 10 minutes ago? I finally figured out what I want to say about it.
Oh my gosh. No, I look up to you because you are so good with words and good at what you want to say. And like, you do think so much differently than I do. And I gain so much from our conversations.
Oh,
so
I really respect you because I feel like you're not afraid to say what needs to be said.
Oh, well, thanks.
Like, you stand up for your program in the field and other teachers in a really beautiful way. And I love that about you.
Oh,
you made me cry.
Oh. Okay, enough of that. What would you do? Okay. Do I have a what would you do for you? I do. So you did just tell everybody that you're having a baby.
Oh yeah. I did.
And this is the, you know, question, and I'm sure you've thought about it. Many mothers think about this. Like, what would you do if your water broke while you were at school?
That's a great question. I feel like it would, I'd go to the hospital. Like, what? Do I mop it up first? I don't know. I don't want to make Nikki mop it up. I think it'd be pretty cool. The kids are really into it. We told all the kids, and they all had to like come up and touch my barely bump belly, and it was really beautiful. And we've been talking about it a lot. Yeah. I think that I would just be like, well, remember I said I get so big I'd pop? I just popped.
I popped.
Gotta squeeze this baby out. I'll be back in a little bit.
Oh my goodness. I can see, you know, because you're a child-led program, and in child-led programs, you know, we don't sugarcoat a lot of stuff. It's like real. Like, I'm having a baby and this is the stuff that was around the baby and now it's all over me and all over the floor. Uh-huh. So just don't walk in this area for a minute.
I didn't pee.
It's not
it
pee.
Wasn't pee.
However, I would pee on you if you got stung by a jellyfish.
Kristen, I have an amazing poop story.
You do?
Can I tell it right now?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You asked in a previous episode, like, where's the weirdest place?
Maybe we should tell it in the next episode so people have to listen to the next episode.
Cliffhanger. Get ready for the weirdest poop story I've ever heard. Maybe not ever. But it was pretty far up on my list.
Let's tell it in the next one.
Okay.
Because
until
then they have to
next
listen.
Time on Q&A with TNK.
Okay.
Well, Kristen.
Well, Tiffany, it's been fun.
See you next time.
On Q&A with TNK.
This has been Q&A with TNK. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.